Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the internet or re-listen to this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to look at what it means to love others. But before we get there, we're going to listen to the a cappella group Vocal Union as they sing Fill My Cup, Lord.
Boom.
Jesus makes it really clear that we are to love our neighbors and that we're also to love one another. The question I want to grapple with this morning is, what does it mean to love others? Now, our language and our culture doesn't help us a whole lot here. We talk about loving pizza and loving puppies and loving our spouse and loving our kids, but I really hope the way you love pizza and the way you love your kids is qualitatively different. Hollywood romances often distort love. Love songs portray sex and love as the same thing. There are some parents who think it's love to give their kids everything they want. And the kids were spoiled, but that was love. I must also say that sometimes faith helps us, but sometimes it poses some obstacles as to what it means to love others, especially if you really haven't thought it through. We're supposed to love everyone, but love, that general, is meaningless. Only God can authentically love everyone. We have a tendency to generalize our love, so it makes us feel like we're a loving person. But Christian love seems to be specific, and we have a lot more trouble with specifics. We can love everyone, but the Good Samaritan loved someone. And just to complicate the whole thing a little more, some people are just hard to love. There is the kind of person who is just so different from us. Loving someone with whom we have nothing in common with is challenging. The Bible would suggest, though, if we hold Jesus in common, that this is really enough to love one another. And I believe that to be true. I've had deep, rich fellowship with people who have had nothing in common with except Jesus. And it's been good. But then there's the other kind of person. I call them the extra grace required kind of person. The kind that is irritating and challenging and infuriating and often insulting in an indirect way. How do you love that kind of person? Have you ever had trouble loving someone? I know I have. And there are some people who are just really hard to love. And there are people who are harder to love yet. These are the people who you have loved and they've betrayed you or hurt you or abandoned you or offended you or ripped out your heart and stomped on it. I think these are the hardest people to love. And then we read passages like 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. When I read passages like this, my mind automatically looks for the exception clause. I know that John is writing to Christians, so when he says that we have to love one another, I think, well, maybe that narrows it down. But then again, I sometimes find Christians harder to love because they know Jesus, and I think they should know better. And Jesus really didn't allow an exception clause when he said that the most important command after loving God with all your heart is to love your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever had trouble loving someone? There are some people who are just hard to love. But when I look closely at myself, I find that I myself am a problem in this love equation. There are times when I don't feel like loving. Love takes energy and time and thought, and I find myself warring against myself. It's easy to blame the lack of love on irregular people or hard to love people, but sometimes the lack of love is just in fact that, my lack of love. Maybe you've seen that in your life as well. But here's the thing. When I think about the kind of person I want to be, I know that part of that is a genuinely loving person. More than that, I want to be a genuinely loving man, which I think shows up somewhat differently than a genuinely loving woman. But the challenge is somewhat with other people and somewhat with me. My guess is that you would like to be a genuinely loving person as well. The question is how? What does it mean to love? And if we can figure that out, how do we love? Well, we're going to look at that after we listen to the music from Starfield. It's A Cry in My Heart.
There's a cry in my heart for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me through? If I open my heart, could go there with you? For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life could mean anymore? You are my rock, you are my glory, you are the lifter of my head, lifter of his head. There's a cry in my heart
for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill every sense. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me through? If I open my heart, could I go there with you? For I've been here before, but I know there's still more. Oh Lord, I need to know you. For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life could mean anymore? You are my rock, you are my glory, you are the lifter of my head. What do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life? Of this, yeah. Yeah.
Let me give you some ways that people try to love. The intentional model. In this model, love is an action. And that's true. If you skip down a few verses, this is what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So you can't just say to God or to other people, I love you, I love you. There needs to be some action to back it up. Love is more than a feeling, if it is a feeling at all. Love is an action. But not only that, love is a command. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus didn't say a new option I'm giving you. He didn't say a new suggestion I'm giving you. He said a new command I'm giving you. So we're commanded to love, and love is an action. Therefore, love is a choice. We're going to choose to be loving. We're going to choose to do what is in the other person's best interest, whether they respond to it or not. We're going to choose to love without the exception or expectation of return. Love is a command, and love is an action, so love is a choice. And there's a lot of truth in that model. There is a good look at this topic in a book written by Minrith and Meyer called Love is a Choice. There's a place for this kind of thinking. But let's go back to what the text says. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Love in truth. Sometimes what this model leads us to is a kind of love that is not particularly truthful. When we're making a choice to do the right things, the loving things, but when making that choice, our heart becomes full of bitterness or resentment, I don't think that you can say we're loving in truth. It is true that you can give out of power of strength, and you can choose that maybe there is more, but look, but love as a choice is only part of what we need to do. So let's look at a different model. This is the model of imitation, the copy model. This model takes a different approach to love. The copy model says we should copy God. God loved us so much that we should love others. And again, there's something to be said for this. First John chapter 4, verse 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We see how much God loved us, so we should love him. We should be like him. We should copy God's action. We love because he first loved us, is what 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says. Now, where is this more keenly seen than in the death of Christ? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when you realize that God so loved the world that he gave his son, when you realize that it was love that took Jesus to the cross, it was love that kept Jesus at the cross and on the cross, it was love that caused him to bear your sin and my sin, it was love, then you start to see that there is something to this copy model. How can I really follow after Jesus and not love as Jesus loved? Love cost Jesus so much. How can I complain if love cost me relatively so little? In fact, if you are having trouble loving God or loving someone else, then I recommend that you walk with Jesus in your mind and in your heart to the cross. I recommend that you contemplate how difficult that it was for God to love you. And yet there is no question that he did. He loves you. Oftentimes when we see the suffering and sacrifice of Christ, it put things into perspective. That's why we celebrate Lent and Easter every year. It has a way of bringing life into perspective. But sometimes the copy model falls short. We see someone who has hurt us. We see someone who it is unnatural for us to love, and we say, I'm not God. God might be able to love them, but I just can't. I would like to be like Jesus, but I'm not there yet. Or sometimes we wonder about our love for God. The hurts in our lives cause us to our love for God to grow cold. So there's another model that I would like you to consider. This is the infusion model. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. How does love come from God in a way that we can give it away? It's a way that we can give back to God and love each other. The verse says that love has been poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. When you became a Christian, God placed his Spirit in your heart. The third member of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, came and took residence in your life. Now, if God is love and God has placed his love and himself in our hearts, we have an infusion of love. It is like God has poured his love into our lives and our hearts. This is the model that I want when I'm having trouble loving God or someone else. I want God to come along and zap me and pour his love into me or fill me so that it will be easy for me to love. I want to do this the easy way. But this is not really the easy way. Let me give you this verse in Romans chapter 5 in context. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. It seems that the love that God has poured into our lives by the Holy Spirit emerges in the middle of difficulty. It emerges in suffering. It emerges in perseverance that develops character, that produces hope, that sees the Spirit of God give us grace to love. How does that work? Well, at the core of who you are, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're full of love. You can't help it but be because God lives in you and he is love. But often there's a huge distance between our core and what we project to the rest of the world. Because what stands between the core of who we really are and the person that other people see is our false self. This is a part of us that gets easily offended. It's a part of us that is insecure and so it acts out of that insecurity. It's a part of us that, well, is out of touch with our core because of that, our emotions get out of whack. We get angry at the wrong things, and we fail to get angry at the right things. We can't genuinely love because there is too much of us that is broken and unable to love. So what does God do? He doesn't want to see us left in that state. We want to be a genuinely loving person, people, but God wants us to be genuinely loving people. So instead of leaving us in that state, he allows challenges and suffering into our life. And that suffering and perseverance through that suffering in the power of the Holy Spirit breaks down our false self. It also brings us a measure of humility. It produces character. It produces who we really are. And when the Spirit of love is at your core, and when your false self is dismantled, and your true self shines through, you love. You love at a depth that was before impossible. You love those difficult people to love. You can even love those people who have really hurt you. Now, as I'm sure you know, loving someone and giving people the opportunity to do evil are two different things. by the grace of God, we can love someone who has been an abuser, but loving them does not require that we allow vulnerable people to be alone with them. That is the thing with the Holy Spirit. Not only is he the Spirit of love, he is also the Spirit of wisdom. And when we are ready to hear his voice, he can show us how to love this broken world in a way that is wise and a way that is good. So how do you start? How do you start to love like this? Well, you make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, you've commanded me to love, and you've shown me that love is an action, and I'm going to choose to love. For those of you who this doesn't come naturally to, I would suggest that you commit yourself to do 2 loving acts this week as a spiritual discipline. I am choosing to obey Christ by choosing to love. But then you go further than that. You remind yourself of God's love for you. You've seen the love that God has for you. Be imitators of Jesus. Spend some time thinking about how the Lord loved you, and then look for a place to pass on that love. Let your mind dwell there. Let your heart dwell there. As you start to give thanks for the love that he has already poured into your heart, let him know that you want it to come to the surface. Ask him in prayer to help you get rid of the stuff that hides his love in you. Ask him to help you to dismantle the things that are false that you project to the world. And ask him to help you to project what is really in your heart. And we pray and we look for the filling of the Holy Spirit to complete the word, his work. See, there is a reason why love is mentioned first in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Because what that is what the Spirit does. It's a byproduct of the indwelling Spirit that has empowered you. He gives you love and joy and peace. And that's what's going to happen, is that the shackles of false self will fade away and will fall off. And you will be free to love, even when that love is not returned. Let me remind you what love is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures in every circumstances. Then it goes on to say, 3 things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is who I want to be. How about you? Are you willing to allow God to work with you, to fill you with his love? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have given us the power to love. You've given us the command of love. And you've shown us to make a choice for love. You've shown us what love really means when you went to the cross. And now you put yourself in our hearts and you've given us the ability to love. But Lord, so often we fail at that. So often we're not good at loving others, especially difficult people. So Lord, today I'm asking that you would change us so that we could love others well. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement, and thank you for keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith, and if you can help with that, please make your checks payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Or you can give online when you go to the website goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And if you go to the website goodnewsinthemorning.ca, you can follow us on Twitter. We also have a blog there, and I would encourage you to take advantage of that. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a pleasure to spend this Sunday morning with you. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to see this morning out by listening to Third Day, These Thousand Hills.
These thousand hills will never know the footprints of a mighty God. They bring me to my knees and praise. Amazing love, amazing.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.